March 31st, 2005, Dexter Douglas with you. Time for Living in Sin. By Crass, a very underrated punk band from the late 70s and early 80s. Again, this is Dexter Douglas. The show is called Living in Sin. The show is basically about anything I want it to be, though we usually try to keep it to technology and how it affects the world we live in. I have some acquaintances, some jokers in the studio with me this evening. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi there, my name's Kit.
Yes, and over there on the guitar, who refuses to have a microphone, is Rusty Shackelford. He speaks through music, he is a machine. In and of himself. I guess let's get right down to it. Boy, lots of strange things in the news today, huh? I'm sure if you've been under a rock the past month, you haven't heard about Terri Schiavo, who sadly passed away this morning, and the consequences of that. I guess there's going to be an autopsy when? Today or tomorrow? Tomorrow will be the autopsy?
I'm assuming it's tomorrow.
Yeah, give the body a couple hours of cool off.
Yeah. In such words, yes.
Kit, why don't you tell them what you do and why this would be relevant to you?
I am actually a registered nurse.
Registered, what's that mean?
A real nurse. I have a license.
And, Rusty, why don't you tell us what you do?
I am a student. That's it.
A student of what?
Student of the psychology.
Very interesting input then we should get from him.
Yeah, we should have some interesting conversation. Hey, it's Christopher Walken's birthday today.
Hooray! I never quite understood that man's face.
Christopher Walken's hilarious.
Very funny without a lot of expression.
What was that?
Exact of our generation.
Sure.
What was that music video he did?
For,
Smash Hit.
Weapon of... Fatboy Slim, Weapon of Choice. That was great. Danced the whole way through it. His page on IMDb is massive. Full of quotes. If you're not familiar with IMDb, it's the Internet Movie Database, and it is full of any kind of information you'd ever want to know about any movie or actor.
Useless facts, I imagine.
Yeah, pretty much useless stuff.
Chock full.
Yeah. Did you know his birth name was Ronald Walken?
No, I did not, sir.
Yeah, he's 6 foot tall. He's the nervous-looking lead and supporting actor of American Stage and Films. He won an Oscar as Best Supporting Actor for his performance in The Deer Hunter in 1978. Did you see The Deer Hunter? You need a microphone.
I have not either.
You need a microphone. Because this is going to sound... Okay, anyway. See mostly in supporting roles to the 80s. Through the 80s and early 90s, often portraying psychologically unstable characters.
Let's talk about psychologically unstable. Let's go back to the Schindler Schiavo case. This does seem to be the topic of the year, I believe.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because I'm
you're just a comedic.
Punch drunk, weary of the whole... What time did we start? Okay, never mind. Yeah, I'm just punch drunk, weary of the whole thing. Like I've been reading... I'm glad it's over. For everyone involved... I'm glad it's over. And it was neat. I don't know if you guys caught the family's press conference at 4:30?
I did not.
They asked the press to kind of back off and give them time to grieve, which I think is important.
I think it's very important.
Anyway, do you have something you want to say?
I have lots to say on that situation from a... medical standpoint, from a religious standpoint, and from a political standpoint.
It's everything. That's kind of the whole...
I have something to say about the whole kit and caboodle. I have an opinion for every...
for every story that
everything
I'm about
to that read. Goes on. Give me a view, and I'll support it and disagree with it at the same time.
Well, that's kind of odd, don't you think?
Well, odd as it may be, the case is just... I'd say this will be in history books because of the... It's unbelievable the way it's erupted into this...
This is going to be one of those defining things of this decade.
And I think it's going to change laws and views of many things. And I'll tell you, there'll be a mass surge of living wills.
Well, I can understand that. Yeah, if you wanted to make some easy money... Start notarizing legal will or living wills or something. But how do you think it's going to change things legislatively? I don't want to talk too much about this because this really doesn't... I mean, how does this apply to technology? Here's from a technology standpoint, from a philosophical, the focus of the show standpoint, we've created technology that is able to sustain life. So in that, does that mean that are we really creating a quality of life?
From a medical standpoint, in my own personal opinion, no. Of course, we have the technology to do lots of things and medically, you know, be advanced in treatment and care today, but these people were determined to do what they had to save their daughter, and I'll tell you, everything was done that they could, and then she still was there for 10 years on basic life support as we know it, because that's, they did all they could do, and they've run every test and did every study, and her quality of life was still gone.
But she wasn't on life support.
Well, whose definition? What's your definition of life support?
Well,
then?
I mean, that's just what I'm hearing. I'm just regurgitating what I hear from what everyone said. This wasn't life support. She wasn't on a respirator. She wasn't on, I don't know, whatever it is that keeps your heart beating. She wasn't on any of those kind of things. So the only thing that was keeping her alive, basically, was. So she wouldn't have died of any other cause other than starvation.
But she couldn't feed herself, so she had a feeding tube, which was supporting her life.
I understand that, and I'm sure we've all heard this thousands of times. But what gets to me, I mean, do we have this technology, and do we just set it up and get in and hook these people up to it just for the sake of holding out for a miracle? Like, we're going to have, there's going to be a miracle.
And I think that's what a lot of people, possibly her family, anticipated, but never came around.
And you can't, I mean, are you essentially spending, trying to buy one? I mean, is that what this is? If the Bible and the Judeo-Christian Bible says that you're supposed to live life to the fullest, basically, to live a fruitful and productive life, and if this inhibits you, if you're not, I mean, this is the argument. I mean, we've created technology, and this technology is able to keep you alive in a situation where naturally you would not be able to be alive. So in that, what are we waiting for? Why would you do that? Why would someone keep themselves alive? I mean, that doesn't make any... If there's a... You know, I don't understand. I don't understand why someone would do that.
That's the point of this whole debate. I mean...
Yeah, it really is.
And who's to say anything?
Well, I mean, this is what things like this are for. I mean, you have to... I don't want to waste too much more time on this, but this has been important. It's something that's going to be, it's going to affect our generation. But it's one person's life. It's a singularity out of all the people who suffer things like this. I mean, there are more important things going on
right now
other than the grieving of one family because of an issue like this. I mean, there are thousands of people, or hundreds of people at least, that may have lost their lives in the earthquakes in Indonesia, and we are sitting here talking about, you know, one woman who was extremely well taken care of, who, you know, and daily there are children being killed. There, you know, right to where is this fight for life for these other people who are in preventable situations, who have the potential to live normal, productive lives and affect society?
Well, then again, I guess, I mean, from that perspective, you can't say it's a singularity. It is a life is a life. Whether it's one or a couple thousand, but the point here is the fact that someone's rights, whether what they were, what they wanted, or so to say, they were taken away. And I think that's the whole point of this. And then, you know,
someone's rights. Explain.
Someone's rights is to say whether they want to live or die.
Whose rights? Terry's rights?
Well, Terry's rights were taken away. And then it, you know, what is this case? Is it about her rights, or was it about they say it's cruelty to take the feeding tube out? So there's a lot of different issues here, and that's why they're making it this big case, because it's not about a life, it's about the issues that surround it and what was going on, I think. But obviously it was blown out of proportion. And I understand your fact that you're saying, yes, it was one life, and there's all these other tragic things going on in the world, but the American people said don't see it that way, because here she is, an American, and going through all this, and this is supposed to be the best country in the world, and they say, oh, we're starving someone to death, but really what they do is single out each little tiny scenario in the situation, and I guess
it just, they become these poster children.
But I guess to end that conversation, she has passed and is in a better place. I mean, so to say.
Yeah. Either way. I mean, she's free from...
It's now over, and she won't be in the public eye in that perspective.
Right, and based on... I mean, that's, again, based on her beliefs and things.
Right.
So, on to some news. Let's take a look here. If any of you are members of the Electronic Frontier Foundation or follow any of the digital rights stuff that's been going on lately, you will know that a very important case was heard in front of the Supreme Court on yesterday, or the 29th, I believe. This was published in eMarketer.com, article on MGM v. Grokster, a tough decision. This says it's published April 1st, which is tomorrow, but anyway, that's how we bring it. The entertainment industry took its campaign to stop illegal file sharing of music and videos to the U.S. Supreme Court this week, arguing that online P2P services such as Grokster should be held responsible for unlawful acts of their users. The justices didn't sound convinced. To hear two sides of debate, the digital fate of millions of Internet users around the world is hanging in the balance. The very future of the technology is at stake, and we are at a tipping point in the American economy. At one point, there is no question. The MGM v. Grokster case before the nine justices of the Supreme Court over whether peer-to-peer P2P file sharing is looting of property and outright piracy or constitutionally protected activity is important. There's a. It goes on to say, the article goes on to talk about the arguments. If you go to www.oyez.com, that's a collection of Supreme Court multimedia available online, and you can download the oral arguments and listen to them in MP3 format or whatever format. And they're actually covered by the Creative Commons license, which is kind of cool. But there's some neat statistics in this article. Illegal music files on the internet by location in 2002 and 2005 in millions. This is locations on the internet. From April 2002, there were 100 million music files, illegal music files available through web and FTP sites, and 500 million available on P2P networks. And this increased in 2003, but in 2004, to the end of 2004 into the 2005, it decreased, and that's odd, which would explain the breakup of Napster and a lot of the subpoenas and things, and with the creation of iTunes and the new Napster, which I use, which is very nice to have that many songs available at your fingertips. There also is a breakdown of file types available on P2P networks, and according to this article, this is research from the research firm Big Champagne. I had never heard of them. The audio compromises. That's not the right word. comprises 74.8% of the file types available on P2P networks. Video is 13.1%, images 1.6%, software is 0.7%, and other is 9.9%, which I'm assuming is when you go in and type in, like, report card, you can get people's report cards, and which I have done. I mean, there are people who mistakenly share their entire hard drive with the entire world, and you can type in odd searches into these peer-to-peer networks and find. E-books. Yeah, speaking to the microphone.
E-books.
Yeah, probably e-books would have. Yes.
Erotic stories, yeah.
Do you know something about
this?
No.
Okay.
U.S. customers who have downloaded movies from the internet by age in December 2004. It turns out that people our age, 18 to 24, 12% of of that age group have downloaded movies from the internet. Have you ever downloaded anything, a movie from the internet?
A movie? No, I've never downloaded a movie. TV shows and whatnot. But actually, I'm 26, so I'm falling into that category.
So you're out of that category. But here's the argument, and I listened to this on an episode of Radio Freak America. It might have been like episode 72 or something, where someone was subpoenaed because, or they had an order to cease and desist because they had downloaded something, a movie, off the internet. And they just complied and deleted the file and signed some waiver saying that they had done it. Where the person had made the point, what if I just went out and bought a copy of the DVD and I had the movie on my hard drive and there's my one legal copy? You know, I mean, this is the way the MPAA just goes about this whole busting down doors thing is.
I'd tell you a quick opinion here, which I think is ridiculous.
Go ahead.
They tell you it's illegal to download music and share it, and the artists are throwing a fit about this, but I mean, you might as well abolish technology because there's a CD burner, isn't there? They created that. You create a CD burner, you could use that. Now you can't download music. What's next? I mean,
well, that's kind of the point of the.
Just like the whole, okay, they created Xerox 50 years ago. It's technology advancing and the sharing of things, and we were taught when we were very young to share. So where's this going?
That's so funny because it's funny you say that because there's actually that's one of the arguments in MGM v. Grokster is that this follows under the same technology as the Betamax law that says you can, you know, it basically makes VCRs legal, makes Xerox machines legal, things like that. So that's very observant, Kit. Good job.
Oh, sure, thanks. I try really hard. This technology thing, I just...
You're a woman of the times.
It's all about the medical thing for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, maybe we'll have
That's for me who doesn't download songs on anything. I listen to music from the 1970s, but that's all right.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll have a special on technology, medical technology and its flaws and characteristics. Maybe you
sure,
could do.
It's read the CAT scans and X-ray films and
how that stuff works. That'd be
sure.
Kind of interesting. And how that stuff is being digitally reproduced now. And
sure, that'd be great.
That'd be fantastic. Okay, that's we're gonna throw that story out. Okay, here's one. Malaysia car thieves steal finger. Police in Malaysia are hunting for members of a violent gang who chopped off a car owner's finger to get around the vehicle's high-tech security system. The car, a Mercedes S-Class, was protected by a fingerprint recognition system. Accountant K. Kumaran's ordeal began when he was run down by four men in a small car when he was about to get into his Mercedes in a Kalawa Lumpur suburb. I'm probably butchering that. The gang, armed with long machetes, demanded the keys to his car. It's worth around $75,000 secondhand in the local market, where prices are high due to import duties. So the attackers forced Mr. Carman to put his finger on the security panel to start the vehicle, bundled him in the back of the seat, and drove off. But having stripped the car, the thieves became frustrated when they wanted to restart it. They found again they could not bypass the immobilizer, which needs the owner's fingerprint to disarm it. They stripped Mr. Carman naked and left him by the side of the road, not before cutting off the end of his index finger with a machete. The police believe the gang is responsible for a series of thefts in the area.
Very interesting. Now, could this be related to the case of the Wendy's finger in a chili? It very well may be at this. I mean,
yes.
Maybe Wendy's imports meats from over there. I don't know.
This came across the wire today, so I doubt that's the same finger. But it is possible that thieves are passing fingers to each other.
Under the black market.
Yeah, through chili.
Meat market.
Through chili.
Huh.
Read the jungle.
It's all about the meat market.
Rusty wants to say.
Let's just be glad it's fingers and nothing else.
Yeah, that's true.
Indeed, but, well, okay.
Yeah, that. How about that? I mean, you think something's secure until your digits start.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, let's wait till the technology advances to read in the eye. Let's see how many eyes it gets pulled out here.
Well, that was in a movie. What movie was that?
That one with Tom Cruise.
Minority
Report. That's it.
Was it Minority Report that he had the eyeballs?
Yeah, the eyeballs were red.
I did an excerpt in a research paper talking about Minority Report recently.
Isn't that one of your favorite authors?
Philip K. Dick.
Sure.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, Philip K. Dick is one of my favorite authors. Phil Dick. Here's some great one. Listen to that English.
Proper English.
Listen to that English.
University education does.
Sure, absolutely. The U.S. Army to produce Mideast comics. The U.S. military is planning to win the hearts of young people in the Middle East by publishing a new comic. I wish Largo was here because I'm sure he would have a heyday with this.
This is like an anime.
Yeah, it's a comic. I mean, it's essentially what Rusty has over there in the form of... We're going to get you to talk about that maybe a little later there, Rusty. All right. So you're going to have to get a microphone. An advertisement on the U.S. government's Federal Business Opportunities website is inviting applications for someone to develop an original comic book series. In order to achieve long-term peace and stability in the Middle East, the youth need to be reached, the ad says. A series of comic books provides the opportunity for youth to learn lessons, develop role models, and improve their education. PSYOPs. The comic is to be a collaborative effort with the U.S. Army, which says it has already done initial character and plot developments. It will be based on the security forces, military police, and the near future of the Middle East, and is being produced by U.S. Special Operations Command at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. Fort Bragg is home to the Army's 4th Psychological Operations Group, known as PSYOP Warriors, whose weaponry includes radio transmitters, loudspeakers, and leaflets. You're chuckling, Russ T.
Those seem like the worst weapons in the world.
Why? You aren't afraid, you don't fear loudspeakers?
Well, I do, but that's just my problem. Just seems quite silly.
You're gonna get I've heard about them dropping radio transmitters on an area that only pick up a certain frequency. I've actually heard about Christian stations that do this as well. They'll fly over an area, drop little pocket radios on an area, and it'll only pick up like one station. These people have never seen technology like this before, and they're wowed by it, and they're immediately turned to Christianity. It's amazing.
But they take it as an act of God that this was dropped here. And
well, they don't know God until they get the radios.
Seems a little deceitful to me.
Yeah, figure that one out. Anyway, PSYOP warrior. You could do that. You could be a PSYOP warrior.
No, that's all right.
You could walk around with like an arsenal of Rorschach tests. What? Talk, you have to speak into the mic. It's a radio show.
An arsenal.
Yeah, an arsenal of Rorschach. What do you see?
Yeah, I don't think that would be the way to, reach the youth of today.
But comic books are.
I think that's a step in the right direction.
Oh, yeah,
trying to pick a common enemy in those.
I hope J. Scott Campbell does it. I hope J. Scott Campbell draws it.
I don't know who that is.
He did Danger Girl.
Oh, there you go.
What? Yeah, I got to talk to Largo about this. This is kind of funny. Anyway, marketing. A spokesman at Fort Bragg told BBC News. This is from the BBC, by the way. Told BBC News website that the initiative for the comic book project came from the U.S. Department of Defense's Central Command, which is responsible for U.S. security interests in 25 Middle East and Arab nations. According to the advertisement, the successful applicant will ideally need to have experience of law enforcement and small unit military operations, along with knowledge of Arab cultures and language. The aim is to involve ministries of interior in some of the Middle East countries. I think this is interesting. I would like to get... It doesn't say anywhere in here where I could possibly get a copy of this, but if anybody knows where I could get a copy of this comic, this PsyOps comic or something, that once it gets published, I would be interested in reading something like this. This is classic propaganda. I mean, this is classic. You wouldn't agree.
No, it is. It's just taking whatever's popular at the time.
But how do these kids know that comic books are popular? Are we forcing?
You don't think they know about the culture.
Maybe, but do they know about comics? I mean, if you're talking about Islamic, I mean, this is sounds like something that would be completely against. I mean, I'm no expert on Islam by any means. I don't pretend to be.
My guess is it's just like anything else where a lot of our stuff gets over their black market and just permeates their culture. And with the rash of movies that have been comic book based that we've seen in the past couple of years, like X-Men and Spider-Man comics, I'd say it's in the culture, and they're pretty much going to see that.
I will be brave to say that this would be a great idea because these kids don't have much of anything. I think any kind of form of comedy or anything geared toward children over there would be great. They don't have a lot. I think we need to look at that and really see what's going on. Focus on Iraq here. These children don't have much, and they take anything.
I don't see them as, you know, taking it as anything other than using this as a tool to promote, you know, U.S. customs and, like...
Yeah, that's kind of what I see, too. Hold the microphone a little bit closer.
All right.
That's much better.
Good.
Yeah, but the thing of it is that these people have a culture and things of their own. Why can't we just give them books and things to learn with and computers and technology? I mean, why do we need to give them comic books and movies and McDonald's? I mean, does that really? This is an old argument. An old argument. We did this with Japan. We did this with a number of other countries. Heck, the North did it with the South.
Can I give a very open, biased opinion?
Go for it.
Why are we doing this? Because I believe George Bush is becoming Hitler here.
You better back that up.
Back it up because he's trying to create the world into a mini America. I mean, let's take democracy to these places, dealing with what it means. I think it's ludicrous. What happened to having boundaries of a country? Do we have to expand across oceans to prove points that we're the powerful, most powerful nation? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe that was a bit extreme of me to say that he's Hitler, but I'll tell you what.
I'm sure there are people who would agree with you.
We
sure
can't say
who
that there's
agree.
Not deaths occurring for no reason because they're very well... There very well are deaths occurring for no reason, so...
Well...
That's a whole other ballgame. We won't go there. We're talking about these comic books.
That's a whole other topic. We're talking about comic books. Yeah, I think that that's... I don't know.
Hey, before you close that out, does it say who the heroes are? Like, what kind of people they are? If they're going to make them...
It doesn't. There's a picture here, but it looks like a picture out of Witchblade. It doesn't look like a picture from anything significant.
Because I thought I saw something before, and that they're trying to make them.
Oh no! Wait! No wait! No wait! Yeah, I believe. No wait. Down here is a paragraph. The U.S. Army's comic could see competition from a new Egyptian publishing venture, which has created what it bills as the first Arab superheroes, Zine, A.K.A. the last Pharaoh, Rakan, a hairy medieval warrior from Mesopotamia. Jalia, Brawny, Levinite. I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone by destroying these names. Levantine, scientist, and a fighter of justice, and Aya, North African, described as a vixen who roams a region in her supercharged motorbike, confronting crime wherever it rears its ugly head. That sounds just like Kit.
It does.
Minus the motorbike. And rearing.
And ugly head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, AK Comics says its goal is to fill the cultural gap created over the years by providing essentially Arab role models In our case, Arab superheroes become the source of pride to our young generations. I would love to get my hand on a copy of some of these comics. I'm sure they're great.
I'm sure they're very entertaining.
eBay. That's a good idea. If you didn't hear that, he just said check for eBay. Hey, Rusty, why don't you play us a little song while I get another microphone and get it set up? Why don't you do that? Or would you rather me find a song and play
a song?
Find a song? Okay. What do you guys want to hear? Name an artist. We're gonna go into the music section of the show. Is there anything? I know what I'll play. I've got something very fun that you may not. It may sound a little garbled, and you may not be able to understand it. But I found this on the BenRev message boards. Props to BenRev. It's an old PSA for high school kids about stealing software. It's called Don't Copy That Floppy. And you're listening to Living in Sin.
You're out. Oh,
I'm trying.
I'm going to be there.
You're not going to be.
There's one behind you.
Oh, man.
Crash and burn.
Too bad, Corey. Guess that makes me the winner. Again.
Temporary winner. I've been holding back. I've been giving you a break, just so you get the hang of it. But now it's time to teach you a little respect.
Right. But it'll have to be next time. It's almost fourth period, and I do not want to get caught in here.
But, Jenny, hold up. Look, I brought a disc, and we could copy this, okay? And we can play it on my brother's computer.
Okay, no problem. All we gotta do is...
Whoa. Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Did I hear you right? Did I hear you saying that you're gonna make a copy of a game without paying? Come on, guys! I thought you knew better. Don't copy that floppy.
Wait a minute. Who the heck are you anyway?
Yeah. And what are you doing on my computer?
I'm your MC, double tap, DP, that's the disc protector. For you and the posse, that's the artist, writers, designers, and programmers. The drums of the images for games and grammar. The best you learn, but also play the game you came here for today. Now I know you love the games, and that's all right to do, because the posse who makes them, they love them too. But if you start stealing, there's no more they can do.
But I just wanted to make one copy.
You say, I'll just make a copy for me and a friend. Then he'll make one and she'll make one, and where will it end? One leads to another, then 10, then more. And no one buys any discs from the store. So no one gets paid and they can't make more. The posse breaks up and then closes the door. Don't copy that floppy. So let me break this down for you. San Diego, no more Oregon Trail. Tetris and the others, they're all gonna fail. Not because we want it, but because you're just taking it. Disrespecting all the folks who are making it. The more you take, the less there will be. The discs become fewer, the games fall away. The screen starts to shrink, and then it will fade. Programs fall through a black hole in space. The computer world becomes bleak and dark. Loses its life, and the dream goes to dark. Welcome to the end of the computer age. But I'm much too strong and you're much too smart to let that happen to your chances to explore parts of the new age just behind the doors of your minds. You're the posse of the future and you hold in your brain things never thought of before. And in time, you'll teach us so much more. That's why I'm here and what I'm fighting for. Don't copy that floppy. Now let me introduce you to some of the team. They'll explain a little more about what I mean.
The game I just finished working on is called Neverwinter Nights, and it's an online version of a Dungeons & Dragons game. Different people around the country can sit at their computers and play this game together. A team of people will contribute different parts. The graphics people will do the pictures, the sound people will do the sound or the sound effects or the music that you hear, and the programmer actually ties all that together to make the complete game.
By the time you add up all the people that are involved in creating an application, you'll end up with as many as 20 or 30 people.
It's fun work. It's challenging work. I get a thrill out of seeing something actually working, something that I put together. And when it actually starts to work, you may hear me yelling down the hall, it's working, it's working.
There are great advantages to owning the original piece of software. For example, there'll be documentation and manuals that'll come with it.
Normally you have instructions, you also have warranties, you also have, in some cases, upgrades, if there are upgrades.
We're available to you. You can call us on the phone, and we'll answer your questions that might come up about the software, any kind of technical support you might have or need. We'll be there to help you.
If people keep stealing the games, the company makes less money, and therefore it may not want to make new games.
So we might say, well, that didn't sell very well. They don't like it. We won't make any more of those.
As a result of that, a tremendous amount of money and revenue is lost by the computer industry from this happening.
Although the licenses may vary, the law is very simple. The copyright law says that when you buy a piece of software, you can put that software on one computer, and that's it. You can make a backup copy of the software, but you can't give that backup copy to a friend, and you can't put it on another computer. Every program that you buy, that's one program for one computer.
We need you to be a part of our team also. The team of people who design and create the games are excited about the prospects for the future. And if you purchase your software instead of getting it illegally, you help make that future possible.
You see, on these discs we have frozen in time the creativity of someone's mind. Do you think that because with the flick of a key you can copy that game, that the work is free? This creativity we protected by law. We value so highly what the mind's eye saw. Don't copy that sloppy. The right thing is really simple for you. The copyright law, it will tell you what to do. Buy one for every computer you use. Anything else is like going to the store, taking the disc and walking out the door. It's called thieving, stealing, taking what's not yours. Is that really where you want your life to go? Think about it. I don't think so. Don't copy that sloppy.
Now wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're telling me that I can't even make a copy of the science program just to use it on? That's bogus. Everybody does it. Those big companies have lots of money. Just one copy is not going to hurt them.
Hold on. I think I know what they're trying to say. It's like, well, you know I love computers. I might want to be a programmer someday. Well, if I spent a whole year working on a really cool game of science program, I know I wouldn't want a couple kids like us making all kinds of free copies, because then how do I get paid?
But they can't stop people from copying. It's too easy.
Yeah, it might be easy, but it's still against the law. And hey, I'm too young for a life of crime.
Hey, like I'm a criminal.
Well, if the shoe fits.
Say you see a game you like, and you really want to try it. Don't copy that floppy, just go to the store and buy it. Think of it this way, okay? When you buy a disc, you're saying to the team, we respect what you do and what you're working for. We'll keep up our support so you can make us some more. We'll do the right thing, and the future will be clear. There will be new programs year after year. Don't copy that floppy. Now you know how the games and the programs are made, and what to do to make sure they're not gonna fade. The bottom line is, it's all up to you. There's nothing more that I can do. The ball's in your court, dribble, shoot, or pass. I'm sure you'll make your decision with class. Don't copy that floppy. See ya. I'm out of here.
Think about it.
Look, I do have some money left over from my summer job.
Hey, you can buy your own game with a manual.
Do you think we have some time left over for another quick game?
Oh, it'll be quick, all right. Won't take me long to beat you.
No way, it's time you're going down
and play. Game's over.
Thank you.
Yeah. Think twice. Don't copy that floppy. The sound quality of that is crap. It's not going to translate well at all when I when I render this thing down. I found that... let me give credit to where I found that. Let's see here. I don't remember. Oh, no, here it is. It's actually on archive.org/movies. And it's in there somewhere. It's called Don't Copy That Floppy. Just give it a search in all media types. And I'm sure you'll come up with that. So it's kind of neat. How'd you like that?
It was different.
It was old. It's great.
Well, it's not the problem now with that one. Sorry.
All right.
Different taste.
So, what's next? What do we talk about next? You got lots to...
Let's go for another news article here.
That's okay. Let's find some news on the fly then.
I have lots of things to say. Just give me the topic.
Well, then, let's see here. Oh, here's one for you. Here's a medical one. Okay.
It doesn't have to be all medical now.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, rounded here.
But it's going to be. It's going to hit the college kids here. Let's take a look at this.
Must be about STDs or something.
Police investigate after organs discovered on sidewalk.
Oh!
New Haven, Connecticut. Police are investigating the discovery of what they believe are human organs found on the sidewalk not far from Yale New Haven Hospital. Someone called police Wednesday evening to report they had found a liver and a kidney on the sidewalk. Police believe they are human organs, but not have yet confirmed that, nor do they know where the organs came from. Hospital officials said they had not misplaced any organs, and no one showed up at the emergency room without theirs. Any organs intended for transplant would have been tightly sealed in a container. Officials say the organs could have come from the Yale Anatomy Lab, which is around the corner from where the organs were found.
I would say that's a safe bet, because... if someone's missing a kidney or a liver, there's a troubled road ahead for them.
That
sounds like a prank. Some prankster from Yale did that. Some smart ass from Yale.
Yeah, that definitely sounds okay. This is bad radio. We got some dead air here.
Well, dead air. Let's talk about the dead person without the kidneys or liver. That's an interesting one, I'll tell you. No one has ever walked into my ER and said, hey, I think I lost my kidney or my liver.
There have been stories, though. I don't know how true they are, but you hear media hype about people who get their kidneys stolen. Is there truth to that?
Are they sleeping? I mean, what is going
on
here?
People drug them up. Yeah, they hit them with roofies or something.
And they cut out their kidney.
And they cut their kidneys out.
I have never heard of that one.
Yeah.
Never crossed paths
in
with
fact,
those.
I think I saw that on TV somewhere. Yeah. I saw... You do have a microphone now, Rusty, for the remainder of the show, for the last couple minutes here.
I believe we have one more guest in the room here.
Oh, jeez.
Let's get a shout-out. Shout-out.
And who is that?
That would be our furry little friend. Her name is Lily.
Lily. She doesn't have to. Anyway, I did record The Office.
How was that?
It was hilarious.
Supposed to be.
It was race equality.
Oh, the one where they all stuck the race on their head with a post-it note and they had to act like that.
Yeah,
race.
It was great. Absolutely great. That's a fantastic. It's going to be a good show.
To take off of the British version.
I don't know. If somebody knows, please email us. Oh, by the way, you can contact us. You can flame our asses off. If you hate the show, you can give us some constructive criticism.
Or you can let us know what guests you'd like to return.
Yeah, what guests you want back.
Or permanently ousted.
Yeah, or out forever, like the host. On you can
rusty.
Email us at livinginsin@gmail.com and tell them how you spell sin, kid.
S-Y-N. There's no other way to spell it.
Actually, there
well,
is.
Well, yeah,
there is.
There's one more way.
And actually, I'd like to encourage everybody to go out this weekend. And tomorrow they're premiering Sin City, Frank Miller's movie with Bruce Willis, Jessica Alba, a whole bunch of other characters.
Boy, you're pimping hard.
Oh, my God. It looks amazing.
I hope you get a check for this.
I hope I do, too. But they'll be getting my money tomorrow when I go out to the theater.
Yeah, we're all going to go at
7 o'clock.
Some other folks, Kit, myself, Rusty, we're going to go check out Sin City.
Looks like a chat we could have here on the show after the movie.
We did talk about Constantine the last show.
Constantine was a very good movie.
Well, this should be right up there with it.
I'm sure there are comic book fans who are... We went through this last show. I'm sure there are comic book fans out there who would slap me in the face for saying that. But I did think Constantine was very good. But I'm looking very forward to Frank Miller's... this adaptation of Frank Miller's work,
with his inclusion in the process of making the film,
yes.
I think that made a huge difference.
Yes, absolutely. The effects look awesome.
And from the clips that I heard
great.
While I was reading the books, they're matching up almost word for word, so it should be religiously
done. That's great. What else big is coming out in movies? I just saw a piece for The Tales of Narnia?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, which
trilogy.
I had read years ago.
Never
I was
read
in
it.
Eighth grade, they pulled them out. It was like library week. I pulled them out of the library, and they were pretty decent. But the effects look awesome. They've got the same folks who did Lord of the Rings as far as effects and props and stuff, and it looks really good.
So the movies will probably be about 3.5 hours long.
I don't know about that, but
yeah,
it's a Disney flick, so
oh, it's gonna
there's
be
your expectations.
Right, absolutely. So did check out The Incredibles, which I may have said something about that the last show.
Very good.
But that was very good. DVD was great. A lot of cool features on the DVD.
They didn't get to check out the features. The movie was great, though.
Features, yeah. The movie was good. I mean, it didn't have. I don't know. I felt that it didn't have the. Well, anyway, we don't need to talk about that. I'm sure that. You can read things like this online.
I did see. Well, I was perusing the AppleMovieTrailers.com, and they did have something up there called The Honeymooners, the movie. Which is a take of the old show with Ralph Cramden.
Yes.
And that it's Cedric the Entertainer and Mike Epps.
Really?
Yes. And I watched the trailer, and it looks like it's going to have some funny points, but it doesn't really translate over too well.
Yeah.
Just an updated version.
It's a different audience.
Right. But, yeah, so there is something out there for everyone. I mean, there's a big revival of those old movie or television shows. I've been drinking, so that's slurring a little bit. But that and Bewitched and all that good stuff. So
that looks interesting. Well, it's about that time. It's been 53 minutes. I'm going to start wrapping it up. This is Dexter Douglas. And if you all want to say your part, if you have any parting words.
Not much parting words here from Kit, but I'll tell you, just check out the ending. It's little piece from my own personal collection that I prefer. No worry, no downloads here from anything. This was
no illegal downloads.
Well, I should say no illegal downloads. It's all mine.
It's all yours.
This is all mine. Enjoy it, and maybe I'll talk to you soon. Good night.
We'll do this again next week if we can get Rusty to. If we bribe him with drinks.
That would do it.
All right. The track... Tonight, the exit track, again, was picked by Kit. The band is Aerosmith. If you don't know who they are...
Get a life.
The song is Eat the Rich.
Eat the Rich! Get the dick out!
Live. Off
of... Budokan. No, wait, that's something
yes,
else.
That's
sorry.
Something else. A little soft of sanity. We'll see you next week. livinginsin@gmail.com. And take it easy. Take care of yourselves.
Long buffer.
The bad boys from Boston
right,
in the buffer
we'll see you guys
zone.
Later.
All right, take care.
All right, we'll see you. Take it easy.
Click.